Hey guys, this is Ian Happ from the Chicago Cubs. I'm excited to announce that my show, The Compound, is now part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Join me and my teammates Dakota Mekas and Zach Short. This week, we welcome Cubs first baseman, World Series champion Anthony Rizzo to The Compound. Check it out. Subscribe. The Compound on the Blue Wire Podcast Network.
We are excited to know where we're going to be playing and excited to have a city that is excited about having us.
Once you're a Raider, you're always a Raider, no matter what city.
We are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
What's up, everyone? It's time for Vegas Nation, and we are going to talk all about everything happening with the Raiders. It's Heidi Fang with Adam Hill and Vinny Bonsignor. Our two Raiders writers are in the house here. Make sure to subscribe wherever you are listening. Follow along on social media at Vegas Nation. Download the Vegas Nation app and check out VegasNation.com for all of our great content. And we are brought to you by Favor. DrinkAFavor.com. So I want to make everybody aware of what is going to actually happen with the show as we get started here. Vegas Nation is going to now have three different episodes each week. So you're going to hear Vinny's show on Mondays. That's called First and 10 with Vinny Bonsignor. Then on Wednesdays, I'm going to be doing interviews with people from around the league and different players, different writers. And that's going to be called Takeaways with Heidi Fang. And then on Fridays, our guys Adam Hill and Ed Graney are going to bring it home. These guys are going to take everything to the talking limits on anything happening with hot button subjects around the league, and that'll be called unsportsmanlike conduct. So check that out on Fridays. So again, that's Vinny's show on Mondays, Heidi on Wednesdays, Ed and Adam on Fridays, and we will still be doing this show as well as it gets closer to training camp and doing different weekly episodes. So make sure to subscribe. We're going to have you covered from A to Z on everything happening with the Raiders and everything else in between. And guys, as we start talking about what is happening here in Las Vegas, there's a lot going on right now. We're going to get into with the talks of systemic racism, how it's affected different culture and mascots now in Las Vegas that we're seeing are even being talked about changing, that being the Rebels. And I wanted to start talking about what we heard from Derek Carr. He spoke with his brother in an interview on NFL Network. And in that interview, which features great drone footage, by the way, from Michael Quine, one of our videographers, and Cassie Soto as well. So I wanted to mention that in that interview, he talks about how the Raiders are going to start getting involved in the Las Vegas community with talks about systemic racism. And Adam, I wanted to get your take on it and see what you thought about not just the Rebel statue being talked about, but how can the Raiders start this conversation with different sports mascots, maybe with different organizations here in Las Vegas that they can try to help to build awareness and start the conversation about systemic racism and everything that it involves.
I don't know what role they'd have in terms of any sorts of mascots around the league. I mean, there's, you know, the individual teams are going to have to deal with some of those issues. I mean, the Redskins have been discussed for a long time. I've recently heard talk about the Chiefs, which, you know, I think is one that hasn't been very controversial through the years, necessarily, not even close to what the deal is and what the Washington Redskins. But, you know, the Rebels are going to be a talking point for a while here in town for, you know, what their history is and the potential ties to the Confederacy, even though they tried to make some drastic changes with those ties in the past. And I think they went halfway toward maybe where they should have, and now we're going to see if they continue that conversation more. But I think in terms of what the Raiders' role in all this is they're, you know, they are now, you know, kind of the, you know, the most high profile organization of any in the community, and that includes, you know, even I think as far as casinos go, like the Raiders are an international brand. Like they are the brand of Las Vegas now. That's what happens when you have an NFL team, and they are going to be very important in all these conversations. But I think the biggest thing is just kind of listening. And that's a big thing right now is, you know, everybody needs to listen. Everybody needs to kind of take a step back. And I think everybody wants to, as soon as you hear a topic, you just start screaming. But I think it's listening and trying to figure things out and what role can they play? I think the players are coming in here and we saw, you know, Jason Witten participate in kind of a roundtable last week. I think that's a big one of just be there, be involved, hear what people have to say, be a part of the conversation. And the Raiders are going to end up driving a lot of these conversations. So between the players, the organization, everybody, they're going to have a role. And what that is, I think they need to kind of just kind of figure out and just be there to be a part of it and show that they're interested in helping make change.
And Vinny, I wanted to get your take on this because as we speak right now, you're finishing up an article about the possibility of Colin Kaepernick being involved in coming back to any team here in the NFL. There's been a lot of talk about that this week, and you've got a statement from Mark Davis on that. What did he have to say?
Well, it wasn't to me. He told ESPN, you know, that he's always given his coaches over the years, basically ever since, you know, Colin, you know, left the 49ers. And hey, if you want to bring in Colin Kaepernick, you have my blessing. So, you know, that there's been a standing okay if the Raiders coaches or general manager, you know, wanted to add Kaepernick, that Mark Davis would be on board. You know, I think that while that opens the door for a possible Colin Kaepernick to the Raiders situation, if you look at it from Colin's perspective and the Raiders' perspective, and you boil it down, and I think it's heading in this direction for him. If you boil it down strictly to just opportunity, the Raiders aren't a good fit for him, let alone, you know, Colin for the Raiders. When you look at their quarterback room and the money that they have invested in that position between Derek Carr and then adding, you know, Marcus Mariota, who's guaranteed $7.5 million this year, and then behind them is Nathan Peterman. Of course, you can make the case that Colin is better than Nathan Peterman and maybe even better than Marcus Mariota. But if I'm Colin Kaepernick and I'm sizing up that situation, the Raiders aren't a good opportunity for me. Whereas the Seattle Seahawks, the Buffalo Bills, the New York Giants, the New York Jets, the Los Angeles Rams, the Cincinnati Bengals, the New England Patriots, the Tennessee Titans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, all of those, you can make cases for him that at the very least, he's a better option than any of those teams have as their number two quarterback right now. And that would put him in line to play should the starter falter or the starter get injured. If I'm Colin Kaepernick, those are the type of situations that I'm looking for, a place where I can go, you know, not necessarily be the starter, that would be great, but short of that, where I'm going to be the undisputed number two quarterback and have a chance to play if something were to happen to the starter.
The Bills are really fascinating, Vinny, in a couple of senses. First, I would make the argument he's better than their starter right now. Definitely better than their backup. I mean, Jake Fromm, I think, has some potential, but he's a guy that, you know, we haven't seen him play, and he did fall in the draft. And let's also not forget that both their starter, Josh Allen, and their backup, Jake Fromm, have very, very, very problematic texts and tweets that have come out in the past. Might be interesting to be like, hey, you know what, maybe we should add some diversity to the quarterback room. I don't know if that would be part of the thought process, but very interesting the dynamic that they have in their quarterback room in Buffalo.
I would love to see that conversation.
Matt Barkley's there too, and I think Colin Kaepernick is better than Matt Barkley, no question about it. So.
Yeah.
What do you guys think here about Anthony Lynn saying that you know, they're going to have a workout with Colin Kaepernick, as far as I understand? I know, Adam, you're a big Tyrod Taylor guy. So, I mean, Colin Kaepernick, Tyrod Taylor, the possibility, you know, Justin Herbert being in the mix there, and now Kaepernick, if he works out for them, and he, you know, we have Anthony Lynn saying that he's a fit for the Chargers system. What do you make about that one?
Yeah, I'll get Vinny's thoughts on that too. I think what he said is he's on their list. I think there's a lot of players that are on workout lists. I think Anthony Lynn is a guy who's been very outspoken about the situation, and I think it makes sense that he would want to take a look at Colin Kaepernick, but I think a lot of teams will. The one thing I don't want is for some team to just sign him because they think it's the right thing to do in this political climate. He should have been signed a long time ago. Obviously, it's ridiculous that he was frozen out of the league for so long, but I want somebody to sign him because he's given a real chance, and I think he deserves to be given a real chance instead of somebody just signing him because, you know, they think that it's the right time to do so.
Yeah, I totally agree. And when you look at the Chargers quarterback room, I mean, let's think of this logically. Tyrod Taylor is the starter for right now, but we all know who the future starter is, and that's Justin Herbert. If you're the Chargers and something were to happen to Taylor, you're automatically going to go right to Herbert because you're it's an opportunity, you know, to give your young quarterback a chance to play and development. So again, that's not if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I'm looking at that situation and sizing it up, and he and his agents are going to absolutely do that and say, not, you know, probably not the best situation for me. There's other people, you know, he's better than Justin Herbert right now, I'm sure, but that's not how the Chargers would look at things, nor really should they. They're invested in Justin Herbert and Tyrod Taylor. But again, as Adam just mentioned, the Buffalo, there's so many teams out there right now. You can make a case that he's the best quarterback on the New England Patriots roster. No question about it. We don't know anything about Stidman, the guy, the young quarterback from Auburn, you know, what he's capable of. And I think Hoyer is the backup or one of the backups there. Come on, give me a break. He's better than those guys are. Or was, you know, we have to account for the fact that the guy's been out of the league for what, 4 years. So, where does that put him, athletically and just timing and all of that kind of stuff? You have to account for that. But if you're just talking straight talent, there's more than a half dozen or more than a dozen places where he could go right now and without question be the best option that they have as their backup quarterback, and in some cases the starter.
Well, I'm glad that we are having this conversation. Everybody right now is kind of talking about how the NFL is handling the different talks with systemic racism and getting on board with making the right statements, putting people out there, starting the conversations. And I think that's an important piece of the puzzle. And I do appreciate that the Raiders this week came out and said that they're recognizing Juneteenth as an official holiday, meaning all staff will get paid on that day and have off on that day. And that being a day, as you wrote, Vinny, that Juneteenth commemorates the ending of slavery in the U.S. Although, you know, there was the Emancipation Proclamation, the South didn't officially surrender until after Granger soldiers, came in and had to fight back for it. And the observance of it traces back to June 19th, 1865, as you wrote. So that, I think, is a good thing that some of the NFL teams are starting to do, the Raiders being one of those. But on that note, let's take our quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Las Vegas getting the Pro Bowl in 2021. We'll also talk a little bit about NFL.com's Adam Rank on the Raiders season and whether or not he thinks they are going to be a playoff team. So stay tuned right here on the Vegas Nation podcast. They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com. Welcome back to the Vegas Nation podcast. It's your host here, Heidi Fang, and I'm joined by both of our Raiders writers, Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor and Adam Hill. We are talking all things about silver and black, and right now one of the things I want to get into is the Pro Bowl coming to Las Vegas in 2021, that happening January 31st. This is going to be something that I think can help reinfuse the city with some tourism and economic growth as a way. So Adam, you wrote this article up about this happening here in Vegas. This will be the first time that we have this. What do you make of the Pro Bowl coming here and what impact it might have on the city economically?
Well, we wrote plenty of articles on the Pro Bowl coming here. It was a collaborative effort. It was a big event. So I think we had about 5 stories the other day on the Pro Bowl, including the main one by Mr. Bonsignor. But yeah, it's a big event. I think, you know, a lot of people laugh at the Pro Bowl, and they have for a long time, and I do. I'm not a huge fan of, you know, a game that's played at, you know, quarter speed and, you know, all the silliness that we've said about the Pro Bowl. But in the end, like there's a reason they still play it. People watch it. People enjoy it. And so I think, you know, it's cool to say you don't like it or you don't care about it, but that's really not indicated in the ratings. People do check it out. And when it's actually in your town, it's a massive event with a week full of activities and, you know, different fan experiences. And they have the flag championships that they play as well around it. So there's just a whole lot that happens. And I think you're right. It's a major event for the city for sure in terms of economic impact. If there are fans allowed at that point, which I think there'll be at least some semblance of, if it's not a full stadium, it would be at least, you know, half full. And then you'd have people that are coming here just for, just to be a part of it. And I also think, you know, looking back at the history of the Pro Bowl, as I did the other day, which I didn't really know a whole lot about, it changed for the better, for the players a little bit when they went to Hawaii. Like it had moved around for a while and then it found a permanent home in Hawaii and the players really started to embrace that and like, hey, I want to be a part of this. Not necessarily reflected on the field, but I mean, just the event of like players that stopped turning it down as much and they're like, oh, I want to go to Hawaii. And then it evolved into the place where we are today, where a lot of people have turned down invitations and that sort of thing. But it rejuvenated the game when it found a home in Hawaii. And I think it could do so in Vegas. I talked to a couple of former players that were telling me like, yeah, like this is going to get guys interested. Like I might say, I don't want to play the Pro Bowl, but oh, you want to go to Vegas for a week and just kind of be a part of this? Like, yeah, I definitely want to do that. So I think it'll add to some cachet a little bit and just announce the arrival of – it's another event to announce the arrival of the NFL in Las Vegas, just like the draft was supposed to. Now it'll be the Pro Bowl. I think it'll play a lot of Pro Bowls here going forward. And Vegas is definitely a NFL town now. I think, Vinny, that's kind of the biggest part of this.
Yeah, no question. And I think that there's a good chance, like you said, that this isn't going to be just a one and done. I think that they probably have their eye on I've been told that there's definitely the possibility that this could lead to, you know, multiple Pro Bowls here in Las Vegas. And like you, I've talked to some former players, Marcellus Wiley and Eric Dickerson. They just love the idea of the Pro Bowl being in Las Vegas. And you know, in Eric's case, you know, the six Pro Bowls that he played in, they were all in Hawaii. And he absolutely loved going to Honolulu. It became like a family vacation for he and his family. But it does get costly because what he was telling me was you get yourself and a guest paid for. But, you know, everyone in your family wants to go to Hawaii, obviously. So now you're talking about extra airfare and, you know, hotels, and that's not the easiest trip to make or the most cost-effective trip to make. So that becomes an issue, whereas Las Vegas, completely different situation, is so much closer. You know, you've got a lot of players that are on the East Coast, so rather than a 9-hour flight, now you're talking about, you know, the 5-hour flight or four-hour flight. I keep forgetting that I'm a little bit further east than I was in Los Angeles. So I got to cut that 40 minutes off the airfare or off the length. But anyway, and just Las Vegas and what it has to offer. And, you know, as Marcellus, you know, told me, there's certain cities that you have to be in. And this is one that you have to be in Las Vegas. And it just kind of enhances the experience. And they know how to put on a show. And as Adam mentioned, the game itself, you know, okay, we all know what that looks like. And you know, sometimes just, okay, you watch it and you turn the channel and go watch an old movie or something like that. But the week leading up to it is what it's all about, you know, and it's a way truly for, you know, people to be able to mingle with the players and watch practice. I mean, obviously we have to keep in mind COVID-19 and where we are with all that. But in a normal situation, there's a lot of interaction between the players and the fans. And So I'm looking forward to when it gets back to that point, and especially here in Las Vegas, I think it's the perfect place. And people that I've talked to from the NFL are just like, that's where it needs to be. So again, wouldn't be surprised if this is a longstanding situation.
And the Raiders quarterback, as we talked about before, Derek Carr, a 3-time Pro Bowler selection there, and Rodney Hudson. There's a ton of Raiders that have had Pro Bowl connections. And as we start talking about those guys, I wanted to get your guys' take on this article I had read on NFL.com by Adam Rank. He talked about the Raiders, their keys to being a playoff team, what pieces of the puzzle are going to fall into place. And of course, we keep talking about it, but there is just no way of telling until we're able to see this team in action. There's a lot of new pieces, a lot of new players. But I think definitely one of the things that the Raiders have done well in the offseason with was bringing in fresh defensive players that are really going to help at the core of the defense, and signal callers who I think are going to be strong voices and leaders on that defense. And I think that's going to be probably one of the main keys. But Vinny, what is your take on what the Raiders need to do to become a playoff team?
Well, it's ironic you should ask that, Heidi, because I'm in the process right now of doing a story on what would constitute a successful season for the Raiders in 2020. And there's all, you know, there's all kinds of criteria that you're going to look at. And you know, obviously, if you're the Raiders and you're fans of the Raiders, you want to make the playoffs. That's first and foremost. But, you know, are there benchmarks and yard markers to look at, you know, even short of that, that would say, hey, they're on the right track, they're doing the right thing, they're headed in the right direction, and it would be a successful season, regardless of the playoffs or anything like that. And so, you know, to me, you know, and I don't want to, you know, let the cat out of the bag just yet, but, you know, you have to win two more games. You have to get to at least 9 wins. Otherwise, to me, it's not a successful season. To me, the offense has to score 25-plus points a game. They were hovering at that 19 points per game level, unless you have just a lockdown defense, which they don't and didn't, that's not going to get it done. You have to get into the 20s. This is a team that, you know, needed to outscore teams last year, and they couldn't do it because they just couldn't score on a consistent basis. That needs to change this year. And I think that their pass coverage has got to get better. They can't be, I think they were 31st in the NFL overall when you're talking about their secondary and their linebackers. That's just in today's NFL, if you can't defend the pass, you're lost. So if those three things need to happen, especially those first two, or else it's not going to be a successful season as far as I'm concerned. Does that get them into the playoffs? We'll see. A lot of that depends on, you know, everyone else in the division, or the division and the conference. But I think they would put themselves in a decent position to at least make a run for the playoffs if they hit those check marks.
Adam, what do you think?
It really is. Really, there's no reason why they shouldn't. This you look at the sorry to cut you off, but if you look at the offensively, it would be a huge disappointment if they're not averaging 25-plus points per game, and a huge disappointment if they don't win two more games. Now, we can't, of course, you know, account for injuries or anything like that, but all of that, just everything else being equal, and injuries not being a huge problem, there's no way that this team should not be able to score 25 points or more points per game and win 9 games this season.
Yeah, they've been under 23 straight years. Is that right? If my memory serves. So under 23 straight years, 25 would be a big step up, but I think you're right. I think that's kind of a number that I think that they should be shooting for, and they should be capable of getting to. It's, you know, another year in the system for Carr. He's got weapons. He's got some, you know, some that he's worked with before, some that are new, but the system is staying the same. And that's something the quarterbacks talk about all the time. That's something that we've talked about with Carr all the time, how many different systems he's had as a pro, but that's really not the case, you know, this year. It's staying in the system. It's continuing with all the work that you put in these last couple of years. That is a step that you should be able to take. And you can't really factor in what's going to happen defensively, how quickly some of those guys are going to come together, how much better the defense can be. But I think the offense goes into the season kind of thinking that there's going to be a big onus on them, knowing that the defense might take some time to come together with all the new faces and the new pieces that they have. So if you're just looking at the offense, I think that's a number that should be attainable, and then, you know, depending on how the defense does, that might be enough. It might not be, and they might have to score more points if the defense struggles. But I think that's a fair target and one that should be attainable. And then I think you're right. If you're scoring at that level, that should be, you know, close to that point that you'd be able to compete for a playoff spot. And I think that's something that they should have in mind.
Well, if history repeats itself, when John Gruden had his first coaching stint with the Raiders, he had two seasons that were 8-8 before getting the Raiders to a winning record in his third season in his first stint with them. So I'm thinking that if history does repeat itself, this year will be a winning season for the Raiders. Maybe it's just, you know, when John Gruden came in the first stint, he inherited a 4-12 team, albeit his first season when he came back in the second stint, he was the coach behind the 4-12 record. So we'll see how things work out in this coming season for the Raiders. And we'll have all that talk for you in our coming shows, which again, next week on Monday, you're going to hear from Vinny with First and 10. Then I will be on Wednesdays with interviews with different players and personalities from around the league. Adam Hill, Ed Graney on Fridays with unsportsmanlike conduct. And of course, if you want to catch up on the interviews that we have on our shows during the week, the Vegas Nation Blitz is where you want to be for that. That airs on Cox Your View Channel 14, 8 p.m. every Wednesday. And you can catch replays on VegasNation.com, where you should be checking out anyway regularly for all of your up-to-date Raiders news and content. Download the Vegas Nation app, follow along on social media at Vegas Nation, and make sure to subscribe to this show wherever you are listening, because that'll keep you up with all of the other shows that are happening throughout the week as well. So guys, thank you so much for coming on. For Adam and Vinny, if you want to catch them on social media, head to at Vinny Bonsignor and at Adam Hill LBRJ on Twitter, and I am at Heidi Fang. So thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back next week.